God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. The year was 1986. The place was Mequon, Wisconsin. The event was Call Day at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. My wife and I, to be, sat in the auditorium waiting to hear where in the world God was going to send me for my very first call. Finally, my name was read. Robert Rosch, Exploratory Mission, Houghton, Michigan. And the first thought that entered our minds was, where is Houghton, Michigan? It didn't take me long to figure that out. In the pack of materials that came with my call, there was a little postcard. And that postcard told me exactly where Houghton is. It is 2 miles beyond the end of the earth. That's not really true. But I'll tell you, there were times I thought it was. Driving to Houghton for the first time with my bride, I'm thinking, are we still on the map? Is this where civilization ends? Little by little, it dawned on me that the reason I was going to Houghton was because of something that Jesus said 2,000 years before, when he told his apostles, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to where? To the ends of the earth. Define it as you will. Houghton, Michigan, Reno, Nevada, Quezon City, Philippines, Papua New Guinea. These are the places that God sends Christians to go with his good news. In fact, isn't that one of the reasons that our synod's mission statement says what it does? In part, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod exists to make disciples throughout the world for time and eternity. Yes, God wants to take his good news around the world. Or, as the prophet Isaiah once said, as quoted by St. Paul in our text for today, God is calling you and me to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Today we want to take a little closer look at how St. Paul did that in his life and how it applies to our lives today. As we do that, we'll seek to answer two questions. First of all, what will be our message? And secondly, how will people respond? First, what will be our message? Our text for today picks up with Paul on his first missionary journey. He's left the island of Cyprus, and he's come to Perga in South Galatia. That's kind of modern-day Turkey. And he then decides he's going to make the 100-mile trek into the mountains to Antioch in Pisidia. Well, that's all that his companion John Mark needs to hear. John Mark bails out. Apparently, Antioch in Pisidia was like the ends of the earth to that man. So he goes back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas go to Pisidia, and the first stop they make is at the Jewish synagogue, where the people there basically invite him to be their guest preacher, offer them a word of encouragement. And so Paul accepts. What does he preach about? Well, first he reviews the history of the nation of Israel, how God rescued them from Egypt and brought them into the promised land and then promised them a savior. And then he goes on to explain that savior's name is Jesus. He says, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. You might say that's the bad news, that Jesus was unjustly and brutally killed. But Paul immediately goes on to the good news when he says, but God raised Jesus from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Notice how Paul is building this case based on eyewitness testimony. He's pointing to historical facts. And the reason that he's taking them through this history lesson, what conclusion does he come to? Well, that's where our text for today picks up. Paul begins by saying, therefore. Therefore. In other words, because of all those things Jesus did, what's the payoff? He tells them, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Wow, talk about the so what of this history lesson. Here it is. Because of what Jesus has done, he's now offering to these men forgiveness. To these people who are gathered there, who likely saw themselves as pretty religious people, they were Jews, who did their best to kind of stay on God's good side, but who knew that they had not kept all of God's standards, who were undoubtedly weighed down by sins. They were not unlike the people of our day today. People who in their heart of hearts are still wondering, God, how do you really feel about me? It's to those people that Paul makes this announcement. He says, I want you to know something. I want you to know that your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done. Your sins are paid in full. As he says, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. You're not guilty because of what Jesus has done. In fact, he goes on and says, through Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. In other words, every man's best effort at keeping the commandments cannot get you what you really need, namely, to be right with God. Only faith in Jesus can give you that. Or as Paul wrote to the Galatians, we know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So, what does all that have to do with our calling to bring salvation to the ends of the earth? Simply this: the same message that Paul shared with those people is what God allows us to share with the people of our day. Through Jesus, your sins are forgiven. That is a powerful, life-changing message. The only question is, how will people respond to that message? Well, how did they respond in Paul's day? On the one hand, some of the people were excited to hear that, this idea that forgiveness is a free gift that they don't have to pay for, that intrigued them. They invited Paul to come back and speak to them again. We read, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Is that so shocking? I mean, isn't there something appealing about a message of a God who does not treat us as our sins deserve? That's something that people want to hear. As pastors, we've all worked with people who, after we shared the good news, just said, wow, why hasn't anybody told me that? Tell me more. Maybe you've experienced the same thing. As you shared with people the essence of a God who's come not to condemn them, but to forgive them, they're filled with joy and peace. You realize that is happening in our world today, in places where you might not have expected it, in places like China or Vietnam, where the governments had suppressed gospel proclamation for years. Now, as that door is being cracked open, people are running through it. They're hungry. They're thirsty for the water of life. When the Hmong leaders that we are training in Hanoi go back to their villages with a message that we've shared with them, the people can't get enough of it. They are pleading for, give us more. They come back with their catechisms all dog-eared. This is the best thing we've ever seen. And they're taking it to their friends and their families. Over the past few years, the Hmong Church in Vietnam has grown from a church body of 65,000 to 100,000 as the Holy Spirit leads people to positively respond to the good news of God's love in Christ. And yet you know as well as I do that not everybody responds that way. Not in our day or in Paul's day either. When the crowds show up for this second helping of Paul's message, how did the Jewish leaders react? Luke tells us, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Things haven't changed much in 2,000 years, have they? People still speak abusively against what we believe and teach. People say, oh, the Wells is too strict, or free grace is too easy. You can't just give it away. Realize in both cases, those people are going against what God's word clearly says. And we may have to say to them what the Apostle Paul said to those Jewish leaders. We had to speak the word of God to you. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Modern day application? While we would never say, I'll never ever tell you the gospel anymore, we'd never say, well, I'm never going to that country anymore, we will recognize that when people close their hearts to God's word, God sometimes opens different doors for us to walk through. Whether that's in China or Vietnam, or whether it's in Latin America, through a different means. You realize that right now there are 1 million Latinos who are connected to Academia Cristo, which is kind of the Spanish version of the Wells Facebook page. 1 million of them. And 4,000 of them have already signed up to take Bible classes in Spanish taught by Wells pastors and teachers. In more and more ways, the Wisconsin Synod is bringing the gospel to hungry souls wherever in the world they may be. You realize that that doesn't happen without the prayers and the offerings of people like you and me. Whether it's your support for our mission partner in the Philippines, or whether it's through your regular offerings every Sunday. I mean, I know in the past year we've talked a lot about forward in faith and what that's going to do for us, but recognize that all those dollars basically stay at home. It's your dollars to the general fund, which are then a portion of which sent to the wells. And those are the dollars that are training and sending missionaries to the ends of the earth. To God be the glory. And yet you also realize that it's not just dollars that send the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's people like you and me who begin by taking the gospel across the backyard fence or down the hallway to that coworker, inviting them to come to our open house next week or next month, to invite their children to our fall festival this Saturday. Thinking about who you're going to bring to a special Christmas Eve service, where along with the rest of Wisconsin Synod, we are striving to bring the gospel to 1 million people. What a blessing. You know, as you think about the mission that God's given us, to go to the ends of the earth, that can sound a little intimidating. Even to Houghton? It sounds overwhelming until you remember, number one, who's going with you? Jesus is. And what message are you bringing? The best message of all time. For Jesus' sake, your sins are forgiven. That's what equips you and me to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. God bless the mission He's given to you and to me for the salvation of many souls, one at a time. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.